It's good to have you here this morning, and we are thankful for a new year, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do through our individual lives and collectively as a church in 2016. I know God has some amazing things in store for us. And just before we jump into a new sermon series, I just want to share a couple of announcements with you. If you're new to our church today or new in the last few weeks, perhaps you started attending during Advent and you would like to find out a little bit more about our church, in the back there's two tables. And one is the information about Megan. I encourage you to go back. It's so encouraging to hear what God is doing in her life. And on the other side, there's a Newcomers Connect table. If you're new to our church, after the service, go back there. Tammy will be back there. Would love to give you some more information about our church. And also, if you are a teenager or if you are a parent of teenagers, a major change in our youth ministry starts this week. Our Unite group, it used to be Crave on Wednesday night, it's now called Ignite, is splitting into two. Junior highs are going to be meeting on Monday night, 7 o'clock, right here at the church. That's grades 7, 8, and 9. And Wednesday night is going to be for senior highs, 7 o'clock, grades 10, 11, and 12. Please take note of that. One more just piece of information for you. If I'm appearing antisocial today, you want me to be antisocial after the service? I picked up a really nasty flu on New Year's Eve, and I still have a really nasty flu today, so stay away from me. So I would, if I was you, you don't want this. My prayer has been, Lord, let me get through this message without running off the stage. So that's where we're at this morning. So let's pray and we'll go into a new series, and I hope God's going to bless us as we do that. Father, thank you for a beautiful first Sunday. Father, we look at the creative handiwork. We see the mountains. We see the beauty of this place you've given us, and we thank you that you are the creator God, that you created all things, including life. And Father, we're thankful as we enter 2016, we can enter it with you, the life giver. Father, thank you that you want us to live in ways that honors and glorifies you and that satisfies our souls. And so, Father, I pray today as we enter into this series on the Sermon on the Mount, that, Father, you will speak to us and encourage us and nudge us and guide us. May we have hearts that are open to what you want to say to us. And Father, today I pray that your Spirit will speak to each one of us as we hear your word and then as we enter into communion on this first Sunday of 2016. God, speak to each one of us today. Help us as we think about what our next step with you is in this new year. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the questions we should probably be asking ourselves as we enter 2016 is, how should we be living as Christ followers in our world? What does it look like for a Christ follower to go engage culture, live in the world today? How do we know how to live? I would suggest to you there's no better portion of Scripture to answer that question than Matthew chapters 5 through 7. The portion of Scripture that is often called, or is called, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, why is it called the Sermon on the Mount? Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 tells us. It's pretty simple. It says this: Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Very simply, Jesus saw the crowds, went up to the mountainside, sat down, began to teach his disciples, hence the name of this portion of Scripture called the Sermon on the Mount. But these three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, are an incredibly rich portion of Scripture in which Jesus describes how he wants his followers to live. And so as we move through this sermon over the next several weeks, my prayer has been that the words of Jesus will not just go in one ear and out the other ear, but that the words of Jesus will go deep into our soul and will transform us and will empower us to live as he wants us to live in 2016. The sermon starts with words you've probably heard before. They're called the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 10 says this: Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, you know, you probably noticed that each of these eight statements starts with the word blessed. The word blessed means fulfilled or satisfied. Fulfilled are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Satisfied are the pure in spirit, for they will see God. Now, I don't believe that these eight statements are in random order. I don't think that Jesus just sat down on the hill with his disciples and started saying, let me see. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Oh, and by the way, blessed are the meek. I don't believe that these Beatitudes are in random order. And in fact, some Christ followers down through the ages have seen the Beatitudes as a ladder of spiritual growth, with each Beatitude building on the one before it. And actually, there's a fair amount of literature that Christ followers feel that these Beatitudes actually build on one another. And so, as we go through the Beatitudes today, I want us to see the Beatitudes as eight steps, if you will, to spiritual growth. We're always talking here at Sanage about taking the next step on your spiritual journey with Jesus. And so I want us to see the Beatitudes as eight steps. And if you have your bulletin, I want to encourage you, somewhere here I have one, I want to encourage you to go to the sermon notes section that has these eight steps. And the big idea this morning is pretty simple. I want you to figure out which step you're on and then think about what your next step is on your spiritual journey as you enter 2016. So the first step is Matthew 5:3. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus says, if you want to be satisfied, if you want to be fulfilled, you need to become poor in spirit. What does Jesus mean by poor in spirit? Well, let's break it down. What are some words for the word poor? Broke, destitute, lacking, needy. Now, take those words and apply them to your spiritual life. And Jesus is saying, blessed are you when you get to the point where you discover that you're spiritually lacking, that you're spiritually destitute, that you're spiritually needy, that you're spiritually broke. Why are you blessed? Because in that state, you discover that you need God. In other words, Jesus is saying, blessed are you when you come to the point when you realize, you recognize, you acknowledge that you need God. Several years ago, Douglas Copeland, an author who lives in Vancouver, wrote this in one of his books. "Now here is my secret. I tell it to you with an openness of heart that I doubt I shall ever achieve again. So I pray that you are in a quiet room as you hear these words. My secret is that I need God, that I am sick and can no longer make it alone. I need God to help me give because I no longer seem capable of giving. To help me be kind, as I no longer seem capable of kindness. To help me love, as I seem beyond being able to love." Jesus is saying, blessed are you when you become like Douglas Copeland, when you recognize and acknowledge your need for God. And maybe you're here today, and you look really good on the outside. But nighttime, when you're lying there in the middle of the night, you know deep in your soul you're not satisfied. You're not fulfilled. You're not happy. Something is missing. And I would say to you this morning that you will never, ever be totally fulfilled or satisfied or happy until you acknowledge that you are spiritually poor and need God in your life. If you want to be satisfied, if you want to be fulfilled as we enter into 2016, it starts with acknowledging that you are spiritually poor and that you need God. And maybe the next step on your spiritual journey is this first step. To say, God, I'm done trying to do it all on my own. And I need you. Just like Douglas Copeland needed you, God, I need you. And maybe that's your first step. Here's the second step. Notice verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn. Who mourn over what? Who mourn over the fact that they've discovered that they're poor in spirit. When you realize that you're spiritually poor and that you need God, that realization should do something inside of you. It should cause you to grieve or to mourn. And Jesus was saying here, blessed are you when you mourn over the fact that you've discovered you're poor in spirit, for you will be comforted. Jesus promised mourners that God will comfort them. How? By satisfying the longing of their hearts. The first step is I realize I need God, that I'm poor in spirit, that I can't do it by myself. And the second step is that when I realize that and I acknowledge that, it does something deep inside of me. And it causes something inside of me to break, and I grieve over the fact that I need God. I realize that, and it just does something inside of me. And that leads us to the third step. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. When you think of the word meek, what images or words come to mind? You think wimpy. You think weak. But do you know in the Bible, the word meek does not mean that. The word meek in the Greek in which the New Testament was originally written means to have your power be put under control. The word was used for the bridling of wild horses. The word meek means power being brought under control. Now, we like the idea of power under control as long as it's our power under our control. The truth is, we want to be in control of our own little kingdom. And yet, when Jesus said, blessed are the meek, he was referring to a person whose life has been bridled and brought under God's control. What we're talking here about surrendering to God, surrendering to Jesus, rather than being caught up with our own ego and our own kingdom. Jesus was saying to us here, blessed are you when you discover that you're poor in spirit, that you need God, and it does something to you inside, and then you come to God, and you say, God, I need you to control my life, so I surrender my life to you. Take it, fill it, use it. I yield my life to you. You will never, ever find deep fulfillment and contentment in this life until you take those first three steps. Until you recognize your need for God, and allow that need to break your heart, causing you to say, I want to surrender my life to you, Jesus, you will never, ever find contentment and fulfillment. And maybe that's what you need to be doing right now as we enter 2016. Maybe you go, that's it, step three. That's my next step. I realize my need for God, and it's been doing something inside of me. And I need to become meek. I need to put my power under God's control. I need to surrender my life to Him. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. What a great way to start 2016. By saying, God, I surrender to you. Maybe that's your next step. And then look at the fourth step. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let me ask you this morning, what are you hungry for? Not what are you hungry for lunch, but what are you hungry for in life? If I was to open the refrigerator of your life, what would it say you're hungry for? Power, control, sex, money, stuff. What are you hungry for? It's so easy in our consumeristic, materialistic culture to become hungry for stuff that is self-indulgent. What are you hungry for? Jesus says here, satisfied, fulfilled is the person, you notice it, that develops a hunger and a thirst after God and His right ways. Are you hungering and thirsting after God and His ways in 2016? Let me ask you a strange question this morning. As we enter 2016, are you going to be a post or a tree? Let me explain. A post is dead, and it's in the ground. And what happens to the part over time that's in the ground of a post? It rots. It's dead. It's not doing anything. It's just sitting in the ground. And over time, the part that's in the ground, it rots. A post doesn't produce anything. It's just a dead tree. Does that describe your life? Does that describe your spiritual life? You're kind of like a dead post. You're not producing any fruit. You're just kind of there. A tree, on the other hand, what does a tree do? A tree that's alive puts down good roots and continues to put down good roots. And as the roots go deep, what does the tree produce? Fruit. And so as you enter 2016, are you going to be a post or are you going to be a tree? Are you going to hunger and thirst after God and His ways and put down roots, deep roots in Him? And as you put down roots in God, as you hunger and thirst for Him and you put down roots, as you get into His Word, as you pray, as you learn, as you live, 6-8, as you put down roots, you know what's going to happen? God's going to produce amazing fruit in your life. So you can come to church and you can look religious and be a post. Or you can say, no, in 2016, I am going to be a tree and I'm going to put down roots and I'm going to hunger and thirst after God and His ways. And as I do that, I know that God then is going to produce fruit in my life. What are you going to be in 2016? A post? A religious post? Or a tree. And look at this, I love this. Jesus says, when you hunger after God, God says, I will fill you. Do you know what the word filled there means? It means to be filled to overflowing. The metaphor expresses absolute and utter satisfaction. Isn't that awesome? Jesus says, when you hunger for God, God will utterly satisfy you. That's awesome. All of us are looking for satisfaction. All of us are looking for fulfillment. And Jesus says, here, I'll tell you how to find it. Hunger and thirst after God, and God will utterly satisfy you. And so maybe your next step, as we enter 2016, is to put roots deeper into the ground and allow that to bear fruit. Here's the fifth step. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Once you've received God's mercy and grace, that mercy and grace, as we've talked about lots, should stir a compassion within you that should cause mercy and grace to pour out of you. It should move your hands and your feet and your wallet to action. Just like we see in the story of the Good Samaritan. And so maybe your next step is to allow God's mercy and compassion to come alive in your life. And then there's the sixth step. Matthew 5:8, it says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now when we talk about purity here, we're not talking about moral purity. We're rather talking about sincerity. We're talking here about being an authentic person, a person of integrity. We're talking here about living a sincere, authentic, transparent life before God and others. One in which you're just real. One in which you're not trying to hide anything from anybody, especially God. Jesus says, you will be blessed You will be satisfied. You will be fulfilled if you live that way. And yet, we know today many people choose to live their lives with masks on. And many people have different masks for different areas of their lives. Some of you are wearing a mask today. It's the religious mask. You look so religious. And then you go to work tomorrow morning and you wear your work mask. And then you come home and you wear your home neighbor mask. And you go to the sports team and you wear the sports mask. And you wear all these different masks. And every compartment of your life has a different mask. And Jesus says that's not the way you're supposed to live. And you'll never be fulfilled and satisfied if you live that way. Because you're living inauthentically. And Jesus says, what you need to do is live a pure, authentic life. One of integrity. One where you take the mask off. God desires a relationship with you that is authentic. And that's why you're blessed when you take the mask off and are just real and honest and authentic with God and with others. Let me ask you this morning. How authentic of a life are you living? Right now, if suddenly reality struck and if you're wearing a religious mask, it appeared, would you have one on? Or are you who you are right now? Are you a mask wearer or are you an authentic person? Jesus says you'll be satisfied, you'll be fulfilled if you have an authentic relationship with God and with others. And then look at step 7. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Do you notice he doesn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. There's a difference between peacekeeping and peacemakers. And peacekeepers are going to a place where there's already peace and they're keeping it. Peacemakers go to a place where there's conflict and they make peace. And Jesus says here, blessed are the peacemakers. And from a Christian viewpoint, a peacemaker is someone who has been reconciled with God and then joins God on his redemptive, reconciling mission, seeking to bring reconciliation and peace into situations they find themselves in where there's conflict. And so a Christ follower is a peacemaker, goes into a workplace where there's conflict and he makes peace. Goes into a home where there's conflict and he makes peace. Goes into a church where there's conflict and he makes peace. You get the idea. A peacemaker is someone who brings the peace of God with them wherever they go, and they go in and they make peace. Or at least they attempt to bring peace. And that's why I think that peacemaking is so far up the ladder. Because it requires a lot of spiritual maturity to be that kind of person. And so maybe your next step is in the power of the Spirit to step out in 2016 and become a peacemaker. Maybe you sense the Spirit of God is encouraging you to go into your family system or your workplace or wherever and become a peacemaker. Maybe you've been avoiding addressing conflict and God says, no, as you start 2016, I want you in the power of my Spirit to go in and bring my peace to that situation. And here's the last step. We get all the way to the top. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, great. We get all the way to the top. And Jesus says, by the way, when you get to the top, you're going to be persecuted. You've got to be kidding, Jesus. I've made it all the way to the top, and the reward is persecution. Listen, here's reality. When people see you living a countercultural life, when people see you living 6-8, when people see that God is active in your life, people don't know what to do with you. Some people will be attracted. Some will applaud. Some will be uncomfortable. And some, at some level, will persecute you. Now, we've got it pretty good in Canada here, right? What we call persecution is hardly really persecution. We see real persecution happening in the Middle East and other places. This last year, thousands of Christians were tortured and imprisoned and martyred for the cause of Jesus. That's persecution. But in our world here in Little Victoria, our persecution may be different, but we will experience, if we're living a truly countercultural life, we will experience some level of persecution. Here's the deal. In our culture, you've all heard the stories. People are striving to get to the top, and when they get to the top of whatever the top is they're striving for, you've read the stories in the magazines, you've seen them on the TV, they find that happiness and fulfillment and satisfaction that they were looking for when they got to the top of the ladder wasn't there. They thought, if I could just get this much money and climb to the top, if I could just get this possession and get to the top, if I could just get this career and get to the top, I'll feel happy and satisfied and content. And we all know, maybe personal stories, certainly stories from the media, of people that have got all the way to the top and they haven't found what they're looking for. And here Jesus says, here, I'll show you the way to the top. You want to be satisfied? You want to be fulfilled? I'll show you the way to stop. It all starts with step one. He says, acknowledge your need for God. And allow that to do something inside of you that brings you to mourn over your sin. And then surrender to me, he says. And then hunger and thirst for God and his ways. And that'll lead you to show compassion to others. And then be authentic. Don't wear a mask. Be authentic with me. Be authentic with others. And then he says, the next step is to become a peacemaker. Go into a world of conflict and make peace. And all of which may lead to persecution, but Jesus would also say, will lead to deep, deep, deep satisfaction and fulfillment and joy. Have you ever read the stories of the early martyrs of the church? And they're being martyred and they're singing. They're being martyred and they're smiling. They're being martyred and they're praying. What brought that sense of satisfaction and joy in the midst of persecution? Well, they did the other seven steps. If you want satisfaction this morning, if you want fulfillment, as we enter 2016, let me encourage you to take this bulletin and say, what step am I on? And what is my next step? What is my next step? And we're going to take communion now, and as we do, I want to encourage you to think about, what step are you on with Jesus? And what's your next step? You know, there's no better way to start 2016 if you're on step one, two, or three than to surrender your life to Jesus. You do that this morning, just pray. Just pray to him. Jesus, I want to surrender my life to you. He'd love to hear those words from you.